tell us about your outlook on training kids how to use firearms properly.
I personally think that at a very young age, if you take the curiosity out of firearms, and so children are curious individuals. And from a very young age, what I told my children is the guns were off limit unless they asked to see one. When they were actually sitting in my lap, I would unload, make the gun safe, lock the slide back, and put them in my lap and let them hold it at a very young age. And
how old?
Four. That takes the curiosity about it out. Now understand, the gun is unloaded and it's locked back and it's completely safe. And then as they got older, I would teach them to shoot. And at 5 years old, I had my kids shooting rifles. And by the time they were 8 years old, they were NRA distinguished experts with a pistol.
Hey folks, this is Bill from the Bill McIntosh Show. And listen, I want you to be able to get incredible discounts, maximum possible discounts at MyPillow.com. You know, that great company by Mike Lindell, incredible story, incredible success. So if you want to get, whether it's fantastic pillows for an unforgettable, deep, restful sleep every night, bedding or mattresses or my slippers or mattress toppers, clothing, accessories for the bath, for your pets, pillow accessories, mic products, keeping in mind that a lot of it is made in the United States. That's correct. A lot of it made in the United States. And you may need something, for example, here we are in winter. We may need something like for a down blanket, something that's going to protect you and your loved ones in case you get a catastrophic cold wave and you lose your heat. Imagine that, like the poor folks in Texas did last year. And that could happen, folks. So be ready for that. So, or you may have gifts coming up. You have Valentine's Day coming up. So folks, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code JDR. That's right. Promo code JDR for maximum discounts. The best discount you can get from Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com. Go there now and use discount code JDR. And so Bill McIntosh Show, now on with Stephen Williford of the Second Amendment Foundation. Their website is saf.org. He became known across America as the good guy with a gun when he intervened in a deadly mass shooting incident on November 5th, 2017, that took place in the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Stephen shot and wounded the mass shooter twice, who then fled away from the church at high speed and crashed and he died. So, Stephen, this is an amazing story, but we're not going to talk about that today. We want to talk about some other things that are very, very important topics, among which is the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association Incorporated versus Bruin. And that at issue is whether the Second Amendment allows the government to prohibit ordinary law-abiding citizens from carrying handguns outside the home for self-defense. What's your view on whether or not how the Supreme Court might rule based on what you've heard about questions that have been asked during the hearings? Do you have any particular opinion about this case and how it might come down?
I think they're using the Second Amendment Foundation's amicus statement when they're talking about it and stuff. So it looks really positive for us to come out with the right outcome. And also on top of it, I don't see how you can look at it any other way, because the Constitution doesn't say the right to own arms. It says the right to bear arms, meaning that you can carry arms outside your home and whatever. You have the right to carry arms. And so New York was basically taking it and arresting people from other states and prosecuting them for having guns within their state. And this could be a really big finding with for the Second Amendment with the Supreme Court, because it just absolutely, that would mean that we do indeed have the right to bear arms, and I don't see how you can interpret it any other way. And I'm looking forward to this. They're supposed to be making a statement on it in June, from what I understand.
In June.
So okay. we'll have some answers from the Supreme Court in June. Hopefully they won't try to wash it down and stuff. And again, I think this has already been found to be law with the Heller case.
Right.
And yet New York seems to still thumb its nose at that finding. And so that's why it has been pushed forward once again. And hopefully the Supreme Court will come out and just make it plain as day that it is our right as American citizens to bear arms, and hopefully that it goes all the way to basically a reciprocity kind of thing, that it shares from state to state, that you have the right as an American citizen to bear arms no matter what state you're in.
Sure. I think this strikes fear into the hearts of totalitarian leaders in our country, because they're totally unable to understand and comprehend how our country was born. It was born from free men assembling freely to basically decide that it's time for us to throw off a tyrannical government and replace it with what we the people decide. And so that was the context historically for the U.S. Constitution, you know? So
it's becoming evident that the arrogance of our elected officials, they think they control and they rule over us. And that's simply not the case in our form of government. They don't rule over us. They work for us.
And exactly. They're subject to employment in public office at our pleasure.
So they make
something.
They make vaccine mandates and then turn around and excuse themselves from those mandates. You know.
Sure. So of course.
We know what's best for you, but we are not going to saddle ourselves with those same mandates that you have.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, sure. Which is very very regal, you know, Stephen. I mean, it's like it's one law for the king and the queen, another four is peasants, right?
It's becoming very evident more and more each day. It's becoming more evident that they think of themselves as better than us, and we have to follow the laws that they create, but they don't. And it goes all the way back to Obamacare and the fact that everybody was supposed to be under this except the United States Congress and whoever we decide to excuse from it, you know, and that has moved forward. Well, no, you can't just make laws and then say, but we're exempt from it.
Of course. Right. They always want to. And remember, they were always apparently they were giving all sorts of exemptions to different companies, I should say. In the country that maybe for whatever reason they asked for some special privileges.
They asked for those privileges and offered money in exchange. And so our politicians, always wanting to make a buck, decided that that's okay. You know, a U.S.
Postal Service
doesn't have to have the vaccine mandate, you know, or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, you know, as I think Ronald Reagan once said, you know, we're only one generation away from the extinction of freedom, paraphrasing him a little bit. And so, of course, that brings up the topic of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and passing on the exercise of that right to our children to keep alive the flame of liberty. And I wanted to ask you about your thoughts, Stephen, being that you're a man whose life has been marked by a proper use and a judicious and an effective and decisive use of firearms, in that Sullivan Springs, Texas intervention when you stopped a shooter carrying out a mass killing, 700 rounds of ammunition. You went out there bravely in your bare feet That's why Stephen is a barefoot defender, and find out more about him at www.barefootdefender.com. But you went out there with 8 rounds of ammunition, your AR-15, and you interdicted, you stopped, you neutralized somebody, basically carrying out mayhem on innocent people. So it's so important for us to maintain, you know, the right to keep and bear arms. And so tell us about your thoughts, your philosophy, your outlook on training kids how to use firearms properly.
I personally
instill them the correct use.
I personally think that at a very young age, if you take the curiosity out of firearms, and so children are curious individuals. They're curious. They're learning every day, and they see guns and stuff, and they want to handle them. And from a very young age, what I told my children is the guns were off limits unless they asked to see one. When they were actually sitting in my lap, I would unload, make the gun safe, lock the slide back, and put them in my lap and let them hold it and let them see it. And I would take it out of their hands and show them how it operated at a very young age. And four. That takes the curiosity about it out. Now understand, the gun is unloaded and it's locked back and it's completely safe. And they're sitting in my lap, so they can't do anything silly with it. And I would teach them how to hold it, how to unload it if they were. And their hands aren't strong enough to do it at that point, but I would show them. Yeah. And then as they got older, I would teach them to shoot. And at 5 years old, I had my kids shooting rifles. And by the time they were 8 years old, they were NRA distinguished experts with a pistol. And I took the curiosity out of it. And I taught them how to make a gun safe in any kind of firearm, as far as a semi-automatic, a revolver, or whatever. I taught them how to make it safe. And then I taught them how to make it safe, even if I dropped the magazine, locked the slide back, and showed them it was safe, stuck the magazine, an empty magazine in, and then dropped the slide. And I handed a pistol to one of my kids. The first thing they would do is drop the magazine, even though they saw me do it. They'd drop the magazine out, lock the slide back, and lay it down with the chamber side up so everybody knows that there's nothing in that firearm. And that was drilled into them till it became a natural reaction. They were taught to treat every firearm as if it was loaded, even though it was not loaded, you know.
Right. Always respecting what could be in a chamber, or, yes, you know,
and always never point a gun, loaded or unloaded, at anything that they don't want to destroy. Always keep their finger off the trigger until ready to fire, and always make sure of what their target was and what was beyond their target also. And those are the four main rules of firearm safety. And if those rules are adhered to, if all those rules are adhered to, a firearm is one of the safest tools ever created.
Right.
You know, and then, you have people like Alec Baldwin that ignored so many of their rules.
Wow.
And he was not taught the rules. But children want to be responsible. And the more you trust them with, and the more you train them and give them good moral training and good moral sober training, and the more that they will be responsible for. I told someone one time, someone said I was really hard on my son on a Boy Scout campout. Said, you really expect a lot from him. And I said, and he rises to that expectation and even exceeds it. She said, you don't treat my son like that. I said, because I don't expect any more from your son than your son gives me. I won't expect more from your son than you expect from your son.
Right.
But right. That's why my son was senior patrol leader at 11 years old.
Well, okay. So, I mean, you instilled in them the importance of safety, learning how to use a gun and how to disarm it, how to render it, neutralize it, so and nobody could get hurt.
Personal responsibility and what a gun does and what its functions are and what it does. You know, I took them hunting and they understood if they pointed a gun at something like a deer, that it would take its life. They understood and the awesome responsibility of handling a gun.
Right. Stephen, let me ask you a question. When your kids were, I mean, preteens, they were learning how to shoot rifles. What rifle did you start them with to train them?
I would suggest, I really worked with them more with pistols than I did rifles because they couldn't handle rifles. Nowadays, the cricket, I guess they call it, it is a single action bolt. It's a bolt action single shot, and it's made for youth. It's very light, very easy to handle. I would suggest something like that to start a preteen with because weight's an issue. And again, I moved my kids quickly to pistols because they can hold a pistol and they can handle a pistol. And I started them with Ruger at the time, a Ruger Mark II 22 pistol.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Worked them through the NRA the courses all the way up to distinguished experts. They were distinguished experts by the time they were eight. Both my daughters and my son were distinguished experts by the time they were eight with a 22. And then
right. At what point? Okay.
Shortly after they earned distinguished expert with a 22, and they were probably around 9 years old, I bumped them up shooting with a 45.
So when did they shot a 45 when they were nine?
It was so much fun to take two beautiful young girls, nine-year-olds, bright smile and stuff with a 45 hanging on their waist and two extra magazines and have them shooting metal plates and changing magazines as they did. And it didn't take long before I'd have 15 guys standing behind me with their mouths open. Unbelief that these little 9 and 10 year old girls were doing this.
Wow! So they were firing a 45 at 9 years old. Girls, incredible.
Yes, and changing magazines and hitting steel plate targets and knocking them down. Yes, I had a 15-year-old one time tell me he was going to outshoot my daughter, and I said, "I don't think you." And she was 10 at the time. I said, "I don't think you know what you're talking about." He said, "Yeah, my papa taught me how to shoot. Did you go up through the NRA Distinguished Expert courses and stuff?" And he said, "No, but my papa taught me how to shoot." That poor young man, he was 15 and my daughter was 10, and she outshot him. She embarrassed him.
Wow.
And I told him,
that's pretty amazing.
You know, unless you've been taught correctly, and, you know, it's great that your grandfather worked with you and stuff, but did he teach you good form and stuff? And apparently he did not. And he thought he knew how to shoot. And my 10-year-old daughter smoked him. And I was so proud of her when she did. And he just sat there dumbfounded, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't poo-poo, you know, special training. Even if the person's a girl, you know, you always have to respect your opponent in any competition.
Oh, don't say even a girl, because my experience is
right. You're right. Yeah, sure. You're right. People think a girl can't handle a 45 caliber.
My experience is that girls and women have calmer, stiller, steadier hands than men do. And I did train one of the girls that was in my youth shooting club. Her name at the time was Heather Deppy. And it's Heather Telly now. She's married. But Heather Deppy went on to win 8 junior national championships with a 45. And then when she was 15 and when she was 16, West Point asked her to come teach the cadets how to shoot.
And wow. So
15 and 16-year-old girl both years went to West Point to coach cadets how to shoot. And when she turned 17, they got her with Cito Rodriguez, which was a congressman at the time, and had him write her a letter of recommendation to get into West Point, where she won about 10 national championships and actually set women's collegiate national record.
Wow. Amazing, huh? Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad. Thanks for pointing these things out. Yeah, you know, my point is that, you know, girls are not thought to be competent with firearms or can be as competent as men. And the fact that they have steadier nerves, maybe or steadier hands, hey, that's huge. That's everything, right?
It doesn't necessarily take brute strength to handle a gun. And that's sure. that's the beauty part of a gun is even if you're a small petite, and Heather Deppe was under 100 pounds at the time, small petite young lady, you can take on a big attacker if you've got a gun.
Sure.
You know, there's no way that a woman of her stature could take on a full-grown man. But guns are equalizers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Steven, let me ask you now about a totally different topic. Ghislaine Maxwell and the little black book of Jeffrey Epstein. Man, I mean, what's your commentary about this prosecution and
well, you notice they put Kyle Rittenhouse all over the media. They wanted really badly to destroy him. But yet they don't even want anyone to know anything about what's going on with her. And why is it? Why is it that she is out there and we have not gotten a chance to see who's in that little black book?
And oh my gosh.
She has now been convicted of 5 out of 6 counts, and she's going to jail. And I heard something the other day that said that she's considering turning names for a lightened sentence. And if that is true, I'm afraid she might suicide herself.
Yeah.
Suicide her like they did Epstein.
Right. Or force her to say something that's not true. I mean, something I have my own views about the whole plea bargaining, you know, system or mechanism. You sure you can get people to basically expose evildoers and lawbreakers, but you can also set the stage for them to be bribed to have people that are innocent convicted. You know,
yeah. Well,
based on.
And I get that, but I think we as American people have the right to know about our elected officials and people in this government that may have been flying to Epstein's Island for sex with underage children.
Sure.
You know, and prostitution and sex with a prostitute is bad enough.
Yeah.
But to force a child into sex slavery for your and what is it that you think you're so untouchable that you can get away with this?
Yeah. You know?
And here we've got people children pouring across our borders and disappearing now. And that they're saying that that's sex slavery and they're going in being sex slaves and stuff. Well, we have a right to know who these children are being sold to for sex.
Well, of course. Of course. Yeah, but it seems like this is the great, kind of like the great frontier and law enforcement in the 21st century. There's certain things that you can't go beyond. You can't go after these big people, these important people that are kind of like, you know, too big to be prosecuted. You know what I mean?
Well, and see, that's the outrageous part of it all is we know now that there is a different set of rules for people like Hillary Clinton that has her emails subpoenaed and she destroys them and doesn't go to jail for that, you know?
Oh, sure. Yes, but there's another piece. Stephen, there's another piece of it, this whole thing. Cheryl Mills, her legal counsel, was one of the persons of interest. But because she was her legal counsel, then she could be privy to, you know, Hillary Clinton's 302 sessions with the FBI. And so, you know, so basically the tip off on what Hillary was saying and what she could do to make her story dovetail with Hillary's, you know? So, I mean, that the whole thing was just outrageous. You know, there's a different, see, we're now in a situation again where I get back to, you know, there's certain rules for the king and the queen and others for the paupers and the peasants, you know?
Exactly.
And
that's not the way this country was meant to be. Joe Biden said, I don't work for you when he was talking to the factory worker. I don't work for you. Well, Joe, yes, you do.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. Amazing. I mean, come on. This guy is so out of touch. He's been in Washington too long. But of course, well, that. I mean, sure, we're preaching to the choir on that.
They think they are the ruling class and they don't have to play by the same rules that everybody else does. And I say, yes, you do. There is no ruling class in this nation, but it's being proven that they can get away with it. And they do. And at what point do we as the people stand up and say no more? You know?
Right. Well, that's, you know, how that's going to happen. You know, it becomes increasingly difficult to do that when they have access to everything we do, everything we write, everything we say and text and communicate. And they know how to target us now. So we're living in times where freedom is in total peril. And really, it's an eclipse. Well, Stephen Williford, Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org. Thanks so much for being on the Bill McIntosh Show. Godspeed to you. Let us know what you're up to. And folks, go to www.thebarefootdefender.com to find out more about what Stephen is doing. He's been doing a tremendous amount of work exposing the utter neglect of our southern border and how it's basically being run by drug cartels.
And I'm doing interviews with former Green Beret that is now being held as a political prisoner with no bail. I'm doing all kinds of things. Now we're kind of in a political season where people are coming out running for offices and stuff, and I'm talking to some of them about the office they're running for and some of their beliefs, and I'm endorsing some very good candidates and stuff. So go out check out my YouTube channel, Barefoot Defender. Go to YouTube, type in Barefoot Defender in the search, and please subscribe to my channel and hit the notification bell. I've got some interesting things coming up soon, along with the politicians that I'm interviewing. And please support and I'm not going to call them politicians. I misspoke. I'm going to call these people statesmen. The difference between a statesman and a politician is a politician is worried about his next election. A statesman is worried about the next generation. And
anyway, that's a great quote. Stephen, what's the name of that Green Beret who's, you said he's in solitary confinement?
Jeremy Brown. And they will not give him bail. And originally all he was charged for, and you can see that, I did that interview with him on Veterans Day. All he was originally charged for was a misdemeanor trespassing charge because he went to the Capitol on January 6th. And he didn't go through any barricades or anything, but the FBI wanted him to become undercover for them against the Oath Keepers. And he refused to, so they said they were going to arrest him. They showed up to his house, and they arrested him like a common criminal. And they served a search warrant on his place. And he knew they were coming to arrest him. And they enacted a search warrant, which they said he had, they charged him with 5 unregistered firearms. And my question is, because there's no registration in the United States, what is an unregistered firearm? So they charged him with 5 felonies about that. And then they charged him with 2 felony charges of fragmenting explosives. He said, as a Green Beret, I don't even know what a fragmenting explosive is unless it's a grenade. And I didn't have anything like that in my house.
And so is that like, so it was a fabricated charge, right?
Well, both of them seem to be a fabricated charge, because I don't even know what an unregistered firearm is when there's no registration. So, and he was in Florida too. And so I don't know what either one of those charges are. They sound fabricated to me. And they offered him a plea deal where he would plea bargain and get out of prison, but he had to admit to felonies, and he refused to do that, and they won't give him any bail, which is uncommon.
This is a different tip. This is totally outrageous. So many people have done so many violent things in the past 2 years. Think Black Lives Matter, Antifa protests, and they'd be arrested and then processed, and then they'd be out in, 48 hours, even less.
Without even posting any bail.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got an American hero, a Green Beret, that served his country and fought in foreign lands for our freedom. And he gets home, and he gets charged with bogus charges and put in prison because he won't be an informant for them.
I said, sure. Listen, Stephen, this whole thing was all about stirring the pot, pushing people into doing things they wouldn't have done anyway. And just basically, you know, it was a protest. They wanted their voice to be heard. They wanted, 50 or 100,000 people to shake the Capitol dome. You know, they didn't want to destroy property in our Capitol and beat up police. That's not what Trump supporters stand for.
No,
they stand for they back the blue. They absolutely back law enforcement. They don't beat them.
Absolutely.
So, Stephen, listen, thanks so much for being on the Bill McIntosh Show. Hope we can talk again soon, and hopefully they can go to www.barefootdefender.com and maybe make a donation to the work you're doing.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Or get your services for a talk at a church or school to defend their place of worship or a school or a business.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Godspeed to you and your family.
God bless you.